I am Crystal Kawula, lead coordinator for MVP Day's Community Roadshow, and I'm here today again with Dave Kawula, Microsoft MVP, accomplished author, and he does other stuff.
I'm a star on this channel. That's who I am. That's right. What are we going to talk about today?
Today we are going to present another one of our MVP Days.
Not cutting that.
I know you won't. Another one of our MVP Days sessions, which was done by Sean Kearney at Energized Tech, is his Twitter handle.
I think this was his third. I think he did three sessions last year.
I don't know what row they went in, but yes, did he do three or four?
He did a lot of speaking last year.
You were very helpful to me, Sean. Thank you so much. This one, you still haven't muted your computer. About using PowerShell to manage your legacy environments.
I was just fixing the muting thing.
Just making sure I had it right.
Yeah, we're good. So legacy environments. So the whole Windows 2003 end of life thing is upon us. Now, the reality that most of you still face is that there's a strong likelihood you still have those old Windows 2003 servers kicking around out there.
Everybody out there has already upgraded everything.
Yeah, just like they upgraded for Windows XP too.
Everybody. So, except for the bank machines and pretty much.
The problem that you run into is, a lot of you are starting to script in PowerShell. And, you still want to look after these older devices that are out there, these older servers that are out there. And Sean was very helpful inside of this session because what he did is he put together a session on managing those older legacy environments with PowerShell and converting some of the work that you'd normally do inside of a batch file or a VB script and things like that into PowerShell. So kind of modernizing it so that you don't have to keep relearning two or three or four different languages. Over kind of a evolution of the management of servers, so to speak, we've gone from, working with simple batch files. We've gone into, using VB scripting, and then the next evolution beyond that was really PowerShell. Now, if you were a developer, you could have been using coding languages like Java or C Sharp or whatever, but for us in the IT pro community, it was normally batch VB script, and then we kind of converted over to PowerShell.
Now, in this video, he shares some of the tools that he uses to do this as well, yes?
Yeah. So he takes and he walks through a bunch of his tools, techniques, kind of best practices for managing those legacy environments using PowerShell. Another key thing to note here is where to find more information out about Sean.
I was just going to say, if you want more of his cool tools that he has and just more information, and there's a lot in that guy's head and he shares it all on his, I don't know if he shares it all, but he shares a lot on his blog, which is powershell.ca.
Yeah, for sure. That's http://www.powershell.ca. You'll see it right here.
Thanks for your help.
Right here.
Down here?
Okay, all right.
Also, he...
Don't do that. That's hard to move around when I'm doing the editing.
He also writes on... He writes for another blog as well, yes?
Ed Wilson with the scripting guys at Microsoft. So he's kind of one of the honorary bloggers, I guess, that would be up there. And he works really closely with those guys. So a lot of his content is up there. And I think without further ado, we probably should turn it over to Sean. He's been raring and ready to go with this session since last year. So, all right. We'll be back to you after this short break, and Sean will take it from there. Thanks.
Okay, everyone, we're being live recorded today. My name is Sean Kearney, the Energized Tech, and I'm here to try and make your lives a little easier through Windows PowerShell by showing you the bits and pieces you're going to need to make PowerShell work with legacy environments. Some people, when they heard about PowerShell the first time, they were convinced it was a rip and replace scenario. If you have VB scripts, if you have command prompt environments, you got to trash all of that, just use PowerShell. I actually heard people at TechEd using very foul words you would never say in front of your mother or your grandmother about PowerShell when they were thought of that, but the fact of the matter is that is not the case. In fact, it's actually usually quite easy. We're going to show you the little bits and pieces you got to do to make all the environments work together. So, quick welcome to myself here. I am Sean Carney, the Energized Tech. I'm a Windows PowerShell MVP. I work at Systole Technologies in Ottawa, Ontario. We're a Microsoft Gold partner. I'm a senior solutions architect, and I get to work with Orchestrator, PowerShell. Well, but to be quite honest, anything they put in front of me at the tier 4 level. Has anyone here know of the scripting guys? Ed Wilson, scriptingguys.com at Microsoft? If you don't, it's one of your nonstop resources for Windows PowerShell. I'm actually one of the writers on the website. I actually did something just last Sunday. It was a little silly and simple, but using PowerShell to launch GoToMeeting. I've also, strangely enough, written Christmas holiday specials about PowerShell. So to say I'm a bit of a nerd and a bit of a geek is an understatement. I sing about PowerShell. I write songs about PowerShell. My wife wonders why she should still be married to me because of PowerShell, but then again, she married the person that she did. I love PowerShell because the fact of the matter is I was, prior to working for a gold partner, prior to working to a Fortune 15 corporation in McKesson a few years back, I was the field technician. My job every single day was to get up, get in a car, drive off to the client site, solve the problem, hop back in the car, go to the next site, hop back in the car, go to the next site, go back home, sleep, wake up, repeat the process. These were typically 15-hour days. How much time do you think I had to learn about scripting? None at all. Until I got dragged into PowerShell. We had a client who said, this is critical. One of our new servers is shutting down every single night. We need to get rid of logs that are over 24 hours old. I don't know how to script. I got on the site. I did a quick Bing online. Scripting guys had a very simple one-line script that showed how to get rid of files that were over 7 days old. That's pretty neat. So if I changed that 7 to a 1, sure enough, it was getting rid of files over 24 hours old. I didn't have to learn PowerShell. I saw one line. And it even showed a neat little thing. It said, oh, by the way, if you want to test this on your production server, but you want to play it safe, there's a little parameter called what if. So I found a little thing called PowerShell that I can actually try interactively, test it live in the production environment. Am I bunching myself? I'm bunching my microphone. Do I tend to get exasperated? I do. But it was a system that would work easily. It was easy to pick up. For that particular site call, I spent 10 minutes on the job. I got the bill 2 hours for the job. And I also got to go home early on a Friday. So you wonder why I love PowerShell. I'm the guy that could not learn VBScript. Forget it. Just wasn't going to happen. But PowerShell? PowerShell I picked up in like, what I said, about 10 minutes there? So there was something about this PowerShell that really piqued my interest. And when I had moved to McKesson, Canada, and we had to pick up a domain structure and move it to a brand new domain, and one of the requirements for PCI was that none of the old domain could touch the new domain, not a trust relationship, not even the wires. We're talking lift and drop. PowerShell allowed me to do that quickly, effectively, and simply. And again, I barely knew how to scripting when I did it. Now, here's the most important thing for today. If anybody here's got access to Twitter, and I know there's people out there, there's a prize, and it will be given away at the end of today, a Surface Pro. No catch-22 other than you have to tweet something, catch the judge's attention, with the hashtag of CDN MVP Days. Picture. Doesn't matter what it is, just grab their attention, because whatever they think is the most interesting, or the funniest, or the goofiest, it doesn't matter. If they think, whoa, this stands out, you're going to walk away from the Surface Pro. That's it. And I can tell you, these Twitter contests, a lot of people think, it's not worth entering. I went to TechEd. You know how many people are attending TechEd, right? Massive conference. I won a Dell Venue Pro from Twitter. So tweet it. What do you got to lose? They just need your hashtag. That's it. So PowerShell, we're going to do a very quick look at it. I'm not going to dive deep into what it is, because if you're here, you have a grasp of PowerShell already. PowerShell really is an interactive command shell, just like Command Prompt was. Now, some people have perceived is that, well, if I'm going to learn PowerShell, I have to learn how to script. Completely wrong. You can script in PowerShell. That's a capability of the system. But my day-to-day tasks at McKesson, what I did PowerShell for, is I had a little shell that sat on my desk. And you know what I did all day long with that shell? What do you think is the most common task for an administrator in an Active Directory? I locked myself out of my computer! Well, I had one commandlet on the screen, and it was simply unlock AD account. That was it. Unlock AD account and the SAM account name. So rather than going through Active Directory, finding their name, unlocking them, And it wasn't the one user that did it. Because when you had that, you would particularly say lunchtime, and there's three or four people saying, I locked myself out. Hurry, hurry, I've got to get in. I've locked myself out. Hurry, hurry, I've got to get in. So I had the one command on screen, just unlocking users. That's it. Cursor, cursor up, enter. Cursor, cursor up, enter. The other thing I would use PowerShell is very simple things. Like, again, somebody's coming right down to me. It's the boss says, oh, by the way, John, we're letting John go. But when I say now, it has to be absolutely now. So I disable a user. So although you could script in PowerShell, I just used it for basic day-to-day maintenance utilities. Somebody wanted to quickly say, how many domain admins do we have in our environment? That was a one-line commandlet on my screen. I learned how to script outside of that. But for my day-to-day tasks, you don't have to learn to script. And I do like to think of PowerShell as VBScript without that nasty aftertaste, because command prompt was very interactive. Remember how that worked, right? You typed down the screen, it worked or didn't work. And if it worked, you copied it and put it in a batch file. VBScript was like chewing on tinfoil. VBScript was you created the script the first time, if you're just learning, of course, and you run it, it goes, and you try it again, and it goes, and you would go and over until you finally figured out what made it work. There was no basic editor for VBScript. You couldn't take the VBScript lines and put them directly on the command console to see how they worked. But PowerShell, I've got the interactivity of the command prompt, but I've got all the methods and the powers of VBScript, and I can put it directly on the console and try it there. And just like with DOS, hey, this worked. I can copy and put it into a PowerShell script. That's one of the reasons I love PowerShell, because it was just like, well, I'll be quite honest, I come from the days of the Commodore 64. You remember how that was, right? Typed it on the screen. Hey, this worked. I'll put it in my basic program. Yeah. And that's it works the same way with PowerShell. If you want to learn how to play with stuff, you can try it there and then on the screen. So let's take a very quick overview of what we call the scope of legacy. And really, let's get right down to it. It's any environment that out of the box that does not have a PowerShell commandlet to manage it, doesn't have a module to manage it, doesn't even have a PS snap in to manage it. That opens a pretty wide scope of things you'll have to be able to manage with PowerShell. And here's the cool part. Looking down this list of batch files, older console applications, older Active Directory, and I'm not kidding about NT4, shouldn't be in production, but we know you've got vendor environments that are locked into DMZ and you still have to manage it. These are all manageable Windows PowerShell out of the box. Web-based applications, if the data is stored in a SQL database and the way that application interacts is simply by running SQL queries, guess what? PowerShell can run SQL queries. So what that means is if you want to get a web interface to run the old application, but you're going to have to run the SQL queries that make the calls, you could just run a PowerShell script that allows you to manage it from the command prompt. So let's go with the basic stuff. You've got a basic environment like command, and you want to launch command from PowerShell. Excuse me, PowerShell from command. Now, we all know that cmd.exe, when you're running a batch file, you're just running cmd.exe/, I believe it's C, name of your batch file, and you're launching it that way for your scheduled tasks. PowerShell is no different. You're running PowerShell.exe, the name of your script, setting an execution policy, and dropping your parameters at the end. But the reason some people thought that, hey, I can't run PowerShell from command prompt is because, well, it's fine, I can launch the script. What about the status code? How do I tell the status of that script? Well, guess what? Just because they built a new thing called PowerShell doesn't mean they changed the rules. The rules stayed the same. So if you launch that PowerShell script from command prompt right now, you'll actually get N% error level, our good friend in DOS, the status codes, and they haven't changed. If it ran successfully, 0. If it ran badly, 1. And if the PowerShell script is using a return or an exit command with a numeric number at the prompt, it will pass it back to our good friend, command prompt. So you can pass parameters from the command environment in a script, launch PowerShell, and actually get a status code back to the command environment. Now, VBScript is no different. Remember how you lost an application in VBScript, right? The difference is instead of launching the application name, you're launching, again, PowerShell.exe. Execution policy. This is no different than when we're doing a scheduled task. And nothing has changed in the rules again. So and how in VBScript you would store the results and say, one in particular variable here I'm calling result. But the results would get captured in that. The results from the PowerShell script, just like you get in percent error level in DOS, get stored in that. So 0 for good, 1 for bad. If you drop in a return or exit code in the number, flops back to there. So the rule hasn't changed. It was just some perception that you couldn't do it. Now there are a few caveats, very minor ones. So in command and VBScript, you're dealing with ASCII characters. That's all it understands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is 5 characters on my screen. PowerShell speaks in the word of .NET. It understands objects. So it knows that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is actually a number, an integer. It knows that 4/11/211 is actually supposed to be a date and time. So when you're passing the parameters into your PowerShell script, you'll want to make sure that the PowerShell parameter options are hard-typed to say date, time, or integer 64, or string. You just want to tell PowerShell that the information that's coming in here is going to be this, because further down the script, you may need to use the date, time object, and you've just passed it a string. So you're getting into a bit of a developer speak on this part. But the trick is basically when the PowerShell script runs, you're not rewriting the script, you're just telling the script, expect a date, time variable. And it'll convert that over for you. Do a very quick demo of how that works in the real world. So over here we have our good old friend DOS. Well, not DOS anymore. That thing's long gone, but command prompt. And in here we're going to run a simple batch file. And all this file is going to do is we're going to define 3 parameters in the batch file and launch the PowerShell script with those parameters passed onto it. Nothing more complex than that. Because in reality, all you need to do to get the legacy environments to connect together is to understand how to pass the information in and how to get the information back. That's half the battle most people think you can do. Now, all we're going to do on the PowerShell side is I have a very simple script. Now, all it's literally going to do is show me the type of object it's received in .NET. So I'm going to get the 3 variables. They're being passed to it. It's just going to simply say, show me if this is a string, a Boolean, a date, time. And at the very bottom here, we're passing back an exit code. The most important exit code for life, the universe, and everything, 42. So when we run the batch file, PowerShell within the batch environment, PowerShell reports that, well, you've given me nothing but strings. That's all I understand these are. But seeing over here, you see the 4/1/2011? That could actually have been the date time variable required for a new Active Directory user or something else in the script. This could have actually meant to have been a Boolean object, but it's just got a 1. But PowerShell wants true and false. It wants date time. It wants January the 1st, 2014. But note down here, when we ran the batch file, this was actually echoing percent error level. PowerShell has been launched from batch and passed an error level back down, a custom error level at that, back down to the batch file environment. So the only thing we have to do for the PowerShell side, we haven't rewritten our batch file script at all. It's unchanged. It's PowerShell. Very minor change. So on the PowerShell side, you'll see over here, you're going to be nice, zoom it. Zoom it's being bad. Okay. Over here, you can see where I've got date, time, args1. We've told that when this argument comes in, expect it to be a date, time object and format it as such. We're telling it that when you get this particular parameter, type it as a Boolean and convert it over to PowerShell. So what will happen now is it's the exact same script, still passing back the same exit code, but now PowerShell has said, aha, you've given me a string because you said that was going to be a string. This is the date time, and now it actually comes up as what I want, 4/1/2011. Which means PowerShell has had access to the particular month or the particular day or the particular year out of it. It's not using a substring. It's getting its own information directly. And down here, now we have a Boolean character. And, of course, the most important status code in the planet, 42. So anybody that believed that you couldn't run PowerShell from command prompt, in fact, if you had a bet with a coworker and you could make some easy money off this, I'll bet you I can make PowerShell run in command prompt and get values back. And they would have said, no, easy money. So, but then there's the flip side. What if I want to run the older stuff from PowerShell? So running command prompt and VBScript from PowerShell hasn't changed from the command prompt days. You're still running command.exe, same we did a schedule task. But in PowerShell, you're passing PowerShell parameters, so $param1, param2, whatever the object is, you're dropping those at the end. Funny thing was, the first time I went to do this, I thought, well, this is fine, but we're still into another problem. I want the status codes back. So when VBScript ran a particular script, it might have an error code of, say, 9099 to say everything went badly. Or it created the user, but it couldn't set a new password. And I went to look for percent error level, and I couldn't find it. Well, I said, well, that's the end of that there. Do a little searching online. You'll find PowerShell has implemented percent error level, only they call it $lastExitCode. So guess what? The rules didn't change. If you want to run your command sub prompt, or your VBScript from within PowerShell, first off, you can, and Trivial Pursuit. This still works in Server 2012 R2, the current environment from Microsoft, okay? So it's not like you have PowerShell and you can never use VBScript and command prompt again. There's still stuff in there that works to this day, and the code is also there in the back end. And just the same way as you would pass your parameters back from batch file and VBScript back down to PowerShell in the old days, that hasn't changed. You run the command prompt, you got an exit code, a status code, and you can read that in the Windows PowerShell under $ last exit code. But again, we got some caveats, but not scary ones. So when we go from command to PowerShell, we had to strongly type the information, say this is a date time, this is a Boolean. But PowerShell goes back out, and we got a simpler caveat, actually. PowerShell speaks nothing but .NET. So if the information you're spitting back out is a string, DOS probably won't care. A string is a string is a string. It's just characters on screen. However, if it's spitting out, say, date time, if that date time comes up on the screen and you see 4/1/2011, if PowerShell takes it by default and spits it back down to a command prompt world, it may give you more information than you want. So what it means is you're going to have to sit there and look at the output and say to a toString method, or maybe run through some format commands and bring it down to a string level that DOS is going to happily accept. Because you get some interesting results like this. So let's pop over to the PowerShell world and launch my PowerShell script that's actually going to launch command. So we've got three little values on here. It was a feeling a little silly. We have Hello Kitty, which for whatever reason I created that up there. We have a date time variable. So July 1st, 2011. And we're even doing a get credential. So this PowerShell script is going to run up and populate these three variables and then launch a DOS batch file. Typey, typey, typey. And all the DOS batch file is going to do, and this is where we're getting down to the one thing you really need to know is how to put the information in and how to get back out. It's just simply echo what you gave me, and I'll just echo it to the screen in DOS. And again, at the very bottom here, DOS is going to pass back an exit code to PowerShell. I picked on that particular exit code, not for any other fun reason than I'm a fan of Rush. So run that. And then the command prompt side, it's received the three parameters. Hello Kitty, lovely, that worked fine. But you gave me this back to the command world. It may be that the command prompt only wanted these six characters, but PowerShell has converted to a full proper date time. And okay, I just wanted the user ID that was part of those credentials, but what did you spit back to me? System management automation, well, does that make any sense to the command prompt batch file? No, that's .NET. But it doesn't mean you can't do it. Over. So we have the exact same PowerShell script. And this is where PowerShell is doing, before PowerShell did the conversion to bring batch file down to it, and PowerShell is also going to have to do some conversion to, you know, translate it back down to the old world. So Hello Kitty, we're going to simply say it's toString. That won't change much. It's always been a string. But your date time, we're not going to spit out a date time object and expect PowerShell to figure it out for us. We're actually going to run a method that's part of the date time object and say, I want to a short string. There's various types of formats you can spit out with date time, but we're just going to use that one as a simple example. Instead of getting the default month, day, year, hour, minute, seconds, time the mouse ran out the door, I just want the date. And then I'm going to spit it out as a string character. And then over here, when we run the get credential, all I want when that thing is typed in is the username that's been typed into that particular object. We're in the exact same batch file. The same batch file has not changed. Super secret password, same batch file, no differences there. But now, we look down here in our string that said Hello Kitty. Well, that wouldn't have changed because that's still a string. But the date, instead of getting all that extra stuff the batch file may not have wanted, we've brought it down to a more sanitized format. The username from that get credential, we've taken just the text that it needs from there and passed that back down to the batch world. So you can make the environments work with each other. You need a little sanitizing, a little cleaning up, going back and forth, but nothing particularly scary. Now, things get cool. Too many things open on my screen. Now, life gets really cool with PowerShell with console applications. Who here has ever used iSCSI, CLI, or NetShell and enjoyed it? Yeah, I don't see anybody putting their hands up. There's a reason for that. They're horrible applications. I mean, they function, they do their tasks properly, but you would spend hours just trying to learn how to use iSCSI CLI alone. And then there's applications I've used, and we're going to demo one today, where, boy, I just wish I could automate this, but it can't be automated because it runs here, and you have to take the value that's visually displayed on the screen and pass it back to another application. Well, here's the cool part. When you run a console application, we're talking NetShell, how about an old Active Directory users thing, all the output that's on the screen, that's an object in PowerShell, meaning that I can actually say run this commandlet or run this old application and put it into a PowerShell object. And the object information on the screen is nothing other than a string array, meaning I can go to line 1, line 2, line 3. Anybody ever play with substrings on BASIC? I can sit there and go to column 5, character 7, and give me this text. It's very easy in PowerShell. And how did I learn how to do it? Because, again, PowerShell is interactive. I can try it directly on the screen. So this one, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Has anybody ever heard of a utility from sysinternal that's called Handle? Okay, Handle was a really cool application Mark Percentage wrote that back before we had open file options, Handle would sit there and show you all the open file handles on a server. So you had a file server and somebody left open their Word documents. That never happens, right? Well, Handle would show you the open files, show you the process ID attached to it, and the file handle attached to it visually on the screen. And then you can run Handle one more time and type in, oh, I want to close file handle 567, process ID 7148, hit enter, and the file's closed. That was pretty cool. Now, I know you can do it through your GUI, but I hated, I didn't so much hate the GUI. I hated opening up the GUI if it had 10,000 files open on the file server. Anybody ever tried enumerating a file server on the command? Oh, it's horrible. The catch with Handle is that you can't automate it natively out of the box. See, what if I was dealing with 100 files that are open? I had to close them off. Doesn't sound like a fun Saturday afternoon, does it? Manually running, typing. But the cool part is we can automate with PowerShell. So today, we're going to run Handle, show you how it works. It's not a nasty program. It's quite easy to use. And I say Handle, show me, it's not even file extensions, just show me all, every open file that matches this character. We're going to say, show me all files that are open that are DOCX. And it sees some silly fool called Sean left a bunch of open Word documents. So what Handle does it is you look up on the screen, and you'll see per line, a process ID, and you'll see a file handle. So if I want to close these little guys here, I got to type in handle. I hate typing. Close, 56C. Process ID, 5816, hyphen, yes. You hit enter. Handle fires up. Does it. And the file's closed. Yay. So now I can back up this file. Wonderful. But first off, I hate typing. And I hate typing mistakes. And if this is 100 files, I really don't want to spend my Saturday doing this. So what I can do, and this is where we get into the cool part. Let me clear the screen. Get all my mess off. So this exact same parameter, the same command line we just ran here, we're not going to do anything other than assign it to a PowerShell object. I'm just going to call it data. Data is whatever this is. So this is literally going to dump the output to screen. Now in DOS, you used to be able to do this because you would type the output and pipe it to, say, a file. This is similar, only it doesn't have to go to a file. We're storing it in a PowerShell variable. Hit enter, la la la, nothing happened, right? Wrong. The output is now captured in a PowerShell variable. And I wasn't kidding, it's a string array. So I can sit there and say, go to number, give me the last one, show me the line. And I can even do things, and this is how we learned how to, and this is not the best way. You can actually take this thing, if you're really versed in PowerShell, and do regular expressions and select strings. My background is I'm not a developer, I'm an IT pro. I was just kidding, not at all. I worked with the Commodore 64. So when I saw a substring, and somebody showed me how, well, that's easy. So that means I can sit there and say, take this line, and show me the fifth character forward. So I literally sat there the first time I did this, and I had a pen on screen counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I found out that if I said from the 21st column, and give me up to 7 characters, nope, I lied, it's 24th column. So there we have our process ID. And what I can do with this, I can sit there and say PowerShell, I'd like to say, and store that away. Now I can access it. And then I want to get the file handle. And I think that was, here we go. Data going back to 41, 14. Don't even ask me how I memorize these numbers. And there is our file handle. Now, if you look at the results on the screen here, you'll notice that in this screen, it's a pretty consistent output there. Everything's kind of lining up. It isn't always like this in PowerShell, but sometimes you can take advantage of these things. If you get into regular expressions, you can do really funky stuff with this. But what we're going to do is simply say, okay, now I'd like to have the file handle, which you just showed to me. I'm going to store that as a variable called handle. Okay. Now, the other problem we've got on the screen is if you look at the word handle, see all the space up to the front? That's because I said, just give me a big block of screen. I said, give me everything that's in there. So what we've got to do is in PowerShell, because it's based on .NET, there's a method called trim. And trim's job is easy. Run trim, and everything that spaces before and spaces afterwards, drop it. So what we're going to do right now, no, not that folder, Sean. We're going to sit there and say the process ID. We're going to run that up here. Da, 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 da. Is that? And trim it afterwards. Now, you won't see a difference here because only the spaces are at the end. But if we go down to where we created the handle, run trim in there now. Da, 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 da. Show me the handle now. And instead of having all excess space, you just got the number. Here's where it gets cool. So how do we run handle before to close the application? We ran something like this. Really. Come on. I mentioned I don't like typing. That's when cursoring up the screen. Okay. I can never remember. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I'm also in the PowerShell ISE, which doesn't work directly the same way as the console environment, the command PowerShell console environment. But so what we'll do is I'm actually going to type again. He goes, what the heck? I'm a madman. Handle, close. Now, instead of having to type in the number, because I've captured that information, I can do close. Now, that should be the handle. And the process ID is the little thing I've called my PID because I've captured the information. And slash y, yes. Guess what? Look at that line up there. That's now something you could schedule as a consistent task. You're no longer trying to type in the information directly. If we can get the information directly off the screen, we can pass it directly back to the original application. So the cool part here is I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. So why don't I try and automate doing all of that? So I did. Now, this is my first attempt. Now, my first attempt was, I'll be honest, ugly. Because they visually ran that application over and over. You see all the text on the screen. I didn't make it pretty. But guess what? Your first time writing that solution in PowerShell doesn't have to be pretty. All it's got to do is get you home a little earlier. And if it's scheduled and it runs ugly but it functions fine, you can always rewrite it and improve it later. So my first attempt at it, I said, well, I'm going to do the same thing I did on the screen. I'm going to capture the data. Only now, I'm going to have a PowerShell parameter in called name. I'm actually going to pass in the particular extension I'm looking for. And this was the worst way. I did a for each statement. I stepped through every member of the array. I said, I know the fifth line is where all the data is and everything down there isn't. There's better ways. But again, IT Pro wrote it badly. And remember how we just did my PID? This is exactly the same thing as we did last time. We're going to grab it. And now we're going to sit there and automate it. So let's just run this. And now I could even schedule this as a task, but I've got a nice simple function here simply called close file. And I can say, close file, please shut down all the Excel spreadsheets Sean left open. Now, granted, it's ugly in the output of the screen, but this was 1,000 files automatable. Now, handle is probably deprecated in many respects because we all got open file options, but it's not handle I'm picking on. We're picking on the option of taking output from a command prompt application, passing through that data, and automating it in a new way. So if you had handle in the old days, and Mark Versinger had written this, so you could just write handle, show me all the open handles, and close all the open handles, what do you think happens to your file server? Not so good. So it was deliberately made so you couldn't automate it. Another application where this does work in real life and in the current time, I've actually had this for a government employee, they had to implement BitLocker. One of the caveats we ran into with BitLocker is that if you have the hard drive BitLockered before it joins the domain, guess what doesn't always get stored in Active Directory? It should, but doesn't, is the key to manage the BitLocker centrally. So if somebody locks themselves out, cool part is Microsoft said, that's okay, we have a solution for that. There's a little application you run the computer and it'll show you the key. And then you run this second application that'll take that key and pass it up to Active Directory. Somebody wasn't thinking. It's not written in PowerShell. It's not automatable. It visually shows you the key on the screen, and it manually wants you to type the key over here. And they came to me with this problem. But because I knew that I could do this with the handle, I said, well, hang on. It shows me it on the screen? Yes. Let me see the output. And the output physically said BitLocker key. So I literally had a little PowerShell script that said, okay, just look for this string called BitLocker key and grab me all the thing with the substring from here to here. Now take that variable, because it's exactly the same thing we did here in handle, and launch the other application in a PowerShell script and drop it in there as its parameter. So the cool part was, this was an application, and this is Server 2012 that you couldn't automate. But at in PowerShell, yes, you can. So one of the options we do have are older applications can be extended on a much better level. Beyond that, I wasn't kidding about NT4 Server. I can put a link at the end of here later on, add up. I've got a posting on my own website of how you can pull server users from an NT4 environment and bring them directly to Server 2012. Because PowerShell has the ADSI accelerator, the very same accelerators we had in VBScript. Those same accelerators will connect to, are you ready for this, Novell environments. And I'm talking old Novell. So I know everyone's going to be migrating off the old systems, but I know out there there's DMZ-ed vendor applications still functioning. PowerShell runs SQL queries, so if your application requires SQL and that's how it interacts, you can run the same queries in PowerShell. And I'm going to throw Cisco IP telephony in there because I had to manage Cisco phones, and I was trying to play with the web interface and have PowerShell automate that way. And my CCIE walked in. He said, "What are you doing with my Cisco environment?" "Well, I'm just going to have PowerShell talk to the web application." "Why?" "I want to create my phones automatically because, really, I don't like running around." Sometimes the way you manage the legacy environments is finding out what tools they have. In the case of Cisco IP, it just wants a CSV file. Guess what PowerShell can do out of the box? It can build a CSV file. So sometimes the way you manage the older environments are making its tools buildable in PowerShell. But there's a number of options that you can play with. But the big thing to remember is PowerShell and the legacy are not, they're not standing on opposite corners, fighting with each other, battling, slugging it out. They're three separate systems. They can work in multiple ways. If you have older console applications and you're trying to work with PowerShell, those applications, as we showed you with the handle, can be made more powerful. You might even find some options you didn't have, because if I can capture this output on the screen and I can step through this output, hey, you know, finally we found a way to sit there and pull this data off the screen. Here's a fun one that most people didn't think of. Do you remember the old Active Directory console applications for managing Active Directory? As a DSU tail, I can never remember half of them. You could actually wrap those inside a PowerShell script. So one of the things I hated with console applications, and I love with PowerShell, is that the way every single one worked was totally different. And I had to remember it each and every time. Well, even handle. I hate having to remember it's hyphen C, hyphen P, cross my fingers. I can actually wrap that in as a script and run the same application and simply say, okay, here's the parameters I run all the time, and here's the objects I need all the time, and just wrap it as a PowerShell script. Make your life a little bit easier. And I wasn't kidding. Server 2012 R2 to this day still runs VBScript, command, and batch files. So those old VBScripts, if they work and they still work, you can still run them in the current environment. Looks like we're doing good time for questions here. I don't know where the super secret microphone is, but I'll try to repeat the question back to you in case there's any good questions. Mysteries of life, the universe, everything. Why does Sean sing about PowerShell? Anything. Throw them at me. I'm all the way here from Ottawa. I'm harmless. I haven't bitten anybody today. Go for it.
1001001.
Yes. So the comment was, why did I pick the exit code of 1001001? And the reason I'm putting that exit code in there was just raw trivial pursuit, is I'm a fan of the music group Rush. 1001001 SOS. I'm not supposed to sing. Yes, I wasn't kidding. I'm that much of a geek. Now, the other part is if there's no more questions, we can also look into reference points. If you're trying to get in touch with me, on any, if you've got questions about PowerShell, I mean, I wasn't kidding when I said I was that field technician. I did the 16-hour days, and I know what it's like not to be able to get home at 5 o'clock and bang your head against the wall. If you're trying to figure out a way to do it, you're not sure you can do it, I don't charge for this. Just ping me on Twitter, EnergizeTech, sean@powershell.ca. You can email me directly at Cisco Technologies, and I'll help you out in whatever ways I can. Now, most importantly, visit the sponsors. I would not be here. My boss probably would not have let me be here if it weren't for the sponsors helping out for the flight, the hotels, and everything that makes this happen. Visit them. There's actually some pretty cool swag out there, too. And most importantly, and this should not be the most important, but it's critical, tweet CDN MVP days. That draw will cost you nothing. And the look on somebody's face at Saskatoon when they got a Surface Pro for free, okay? Surface Pro, free. Somebody's going to win this. Someone's going to go home with this city right now. Woohoo! And it's theirs. I'll throw up that link up here again for you if you like, because I've got a little thing up here called Posh Legacy. The link may not be complete tonight, But if you check that later on, I'll try and throw the scripts I use for samples up on there. And any of the resources I can have will make it a little bit easier for you. My name is Sean. I'm the Energized Tech. I love PowerShell. I love making it easier for everybody. Thank you all.
We're on the air. Sorry, my eyes are getting bad. I have to look at the screen pretty close nowadays.
Okay, restart that.
Who are you?
Bob.
We're going. We're live.
No.
We're live.
No?
Yes.
No.
Why? Okay, let's reset. Let's go.
You're such a liar.